order to, they might say April 6th. Sorry for the delay of the House session. I know the House of Horror session went over a little bit. And so it's 2 o'clock. And with us today, we have Representative Holmes, Representative Foster, Co-Chairman Schnultz, Vice Chairman Stoltz, Representative Weirach, myself, Co-Chair Meyer. Also, we have Representative Hawker with us. And today we will finish up House Bill 122 and move on to the MRAS Bills 187 and 188. But before we get started here, I'm going to call on Co-Chair Schnultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess it's a great sadness that I'd like to report, at least on the record, that on April 4th, Lance Corporal Jeremiah Kitchen, 22, from Saltwick. He is a Marine. I believe, the first Alaskan military person killed in the current campaign in Iraq. And it's with great sadness that I think any of us want to report this, but I think it's, our duty to try to assist and condole the parents of Jeremiah Kitchen and also his any living relatives that he has. So, Mr. Chairman, I would just ask that we maybe stand for a brief moment of silence and in remembrance of Mr. Kitchen and all of our military people that we have in the war zone today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Co-Chair Schnell. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to interrupt. Is that Kitchen, Alaska?
What's that? Kitchen is from Saltwick.
Saltwick. His name is Kitchen.
His name is Kitchen, K-I-N-C-H-E-N.
Where is Saltwick?
South.
He was killed in Iraq.
He was killed in Al-Anbar province in Iraq. He was assigned to the Marine Force Reserve's 4th Reconnaissance Battalion, 4th Marine Division, San Angelo, Texas.
How did he say how old he was?
22. Very young.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
No.
All right. We'll go on then to the next item. It's House Bill 122. And if the sponsor would join us, and Mr. Kramer, you're welcome to be also. By the way, we do have a new fiscal note. Our fiscal gave a change to the resident. It was 85 days to reflect the third rate, the tax rate, $25. So we should have that. Then I think what we did is we run an amendment 3, reps and four reps. And Weirach withdrew that amendment until we could get additional information on whether or not what was provided in the bill was, I think he had some concerns with it being legal by the Congress and whatnot. And I don't know if you want to go ahead and move Amendment 3 again so we can discuss it, or if you...
For discussion, yes, I'll move.
Okay. Madam Clerk, can we renumber that?
Mr. Chairman, was it an amended amendment?
Well, it was amended Amendment 3 because it deleted Section 2 through line 27, which is a friendly amendment, to line 27 on page 3.
You're right. Delete Section 2, page 2, line 9, delete Section 2, down to line 27 on page 3. So, can we still refer to that as Amendment 3? Okay. We have Amendment 3 as amended, back to force. Representative Wire, do you have any more questions? Or
no, I thought where we sort of had left off, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hawker had some questions. And partly I want to reiterate that what the sponsor's original bill was good, but the amendment in Military Veterans Affairs raised some questions on what the state could or could not require an institute to do. And that, I think those were some of the tenor of some of the questions on that committee's amendment, not on the original bill.
Okay, we need to go to the sponsor and see what they found out, or Representative Hawker, did you want to pursue your question?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, in the interim here, I have had a chance to discuss those provisions in Section 2 that were added in Military and Veterans Affairs with actually on an informal basis with the leading lines, and I think I've had a number of issues that I believe that are still that are valid in here about the potential interfering with existing contractual relations as opposed to putting in place some of these provisions that would affect subsequently entered into contractual relations. But I think maybe the right conclusion I've reached is that all the sections are at best inartful. It's not something that I want to take up any more committee's time with.
I'm not sure. I don't want to pass out a bill that you're not comfortable with, or that's accurate. The sponsor, have a comment? Go ahead.
For the record, Kelly Huber with Representative Olson's office. The sponsor took to heart the comments made yesterday and has done some, research as well. And I have maybe one suggestion that might help a little bit. If Representative Hawker would like, most of all, I'll say that there still has been positive feedback on the sections of the bill. But in it says terminate, which is, I think, your concern about terminating an existing contract. Would perhaps you like to insert the word suspend or terminate and allow the companies themselves to decide? I mean, it's just an offer. It would allow the companies, if they would like to terminate and let it go, that's fine. But if they'd like to suspend it during the deployment period, then that person is still liable for that when they came back. That is something that, if you would like to include it, would be the committee's decision. We feel it would still offer the guardsmen their the relief.
I guess the informed counsel I had was that even if we pass a law that would get in conflict, that would just be an issue of something you just can't do, even though we've attempted to authorize it. So. That might be a decision that the sponsor would like to do it. That would be fine. But I'm really at this juncture, I said there's a long process. The bill has to go through, including the new passage. Got to look at the website.
Right, it does.
Or we've got some very good lines that can take a look at the language and clean up entity. And I just said they're inartful, but meaning, language that better minds than mine would have time to work on cleaning up the language, so I'm very comfortable letting it go as it is.
Okay, and I do believe Ms. Cunningham has legal services again. They were okay with the current
position.
Okay, for the record, also Representative Moses Colin Croft joined us.
I'll maintain my objection.
This Amendment 3? Yeah, this Amendment 3, Representative Weiler has put Amendment 3 again. It's now been objected. Any more discussion?
Yeah.
The amendment's been withdrawn. Objections withdrawn. Okay. So let's see. Representative Weiler, can I believe Amendment 4 was contingent on 3?
Right.
I'll move Amendment 4. Okay, I'll object for purposes of discussion. I guess in line with privatizing the gain and socializing loss, this just makes it clear that if there's going to be a penalty or cost, then somebody's going to have to pick it up. And
that party that's passing this law would be the responsible party for picking up the penalty or cost. So it simply adds language that if there's going to be somebody who's going to pay for this, it's not going to fall on the shoulders of the private sector that has to shoulder it, or the utility. It's going to be the state of Alaska that pays the cost. It's just to make it clear that that's what we're doing. And if there's a university or institution of higher learning that has to shoulder a cost because of this amendment, then they're going to shoulder it, not the state. The page 32 following natural gas deletes the words "our other heating fuel" because a public utility, I couldn't think in my mind, and maybe I could be correct by member of the committee, which public utility provides heating fuel other than electricity or natural gas to residential premises. And that's essentially what the amendment is.
Okay. Sponsor has anything about discussion?
Mr. Chairman, the sponsor does not support the amendment. However, the one part that is not of concern is the other heating fuel that was put on at the request of a member in the previous committee. If we don't believe that is a factor, the sponsor doesn't have any concern about that. On the other points, I don't want to take up the committee's time. I tried to explain it yesterday, but higher education already has an informal policy. They deal with this, but it isn't necessarily consistent between the campuses. This is just helping some consistency and reassurance to the guard. And then also the other reliefs just provide a relief in time, really. They still have to pay their bills. The only part that we ask is that they don't, or that we'll stipulate in law is the penalty, not to impose penalties. But, you know, guardsmen are our community members. We're still expected to pay their bills, and I think they would expect to do the same. So she would prefer this amendment not pass the committee.
Okay, certainly this would change the fiscal note on it if you would accept this amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, really, would it, based on that testimony, would it change the fiscal note? Because I think what the sponsor is saying is there's no fiscal impact by adoption of this amendment. Is that right?
I took her response two ways. Was that this amendment wasn't necessary.
Go ahead, Chris.
Mr. Chairman, through the chairman, Representative Weirach, what the bill would say is that the companies would not do a penalty. And so, yes, if you're trying to say that the state should pick up the penalty. But I, in the time frame from yesterday to today, contacted electric companies. Nobody came back in opposition of this. I mean, we've tried to reach out. There has not, you know, the electric companies were, nobody showed a concern for it. And so, but there is a cost to the guardsmen. They will still pay their bill, but to the state, Representative Weirach is saying that the state should pick up any penalties that would have been associated. So that is the thing that we are asking these companies not to do while the guardsmen are defending our freedom as they're deployed and just giving that relief to the families.
So there could be additional costs to the state?
If the state were to pick up the penalties, in these rare cases that this may happen, and you adopted the amendment, I'd have to say yes. I mean, I don't know if it would be very large, but I would not argue with Representative Weirach and say that there would be no expense.
Very good, Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question that probably isn't directed to either one of you, but I may want to direct it to Reggie or to Richard in that sense of the other meeting fuels. Are there utilities in rural Alaska that would
I'm pretty sure by the time this gets to the floor, Mr. Chairman, I'll have that information for the floor if it does come out so that it can go back in with the communities listed that would fall underneath that category. But I'm pretty certain that the answer to that question is yes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr.
Thank you. Okay, any other discussion? Yeah, Representative Crock?
Yeah, well, very briefly, I guess I appreciate what Representative Weirach is trying to do, but disagree with it. large impacts from these public policy decisions on business we probably should compensate. But this is a relatively minor deal, and it's something we're all in together. The bill already, and I wanted to make sure of it when I heard about the bill, says they have, you know, they have to pay their charges. They're just not given the extra ones. They it seems a very moderate one already. I'm taking it from the bottom to the top here of this amendment, on page 3, line 18. The Department of Fish and Game shall reissue. We're just going to give them a new fishing license. This says the department may not seek reimbursement. Well, they may very well come to us and say, it cost us $50,000 or $100,000 to do this, and we may very well decide that's an appropriate thing to fund. I don't know that it'll cost very much at all, but it does seem a cost that society should be prepared to bear for this kind of sacrifice. And sort of on up, it's analogous to me to jury duty or things like that, where there's this great societal purpose to it, and we expect that you're going to let people back to work when they come back from jury duty, that these kinds of things. I think I'd have some problem with the bill if they never had to pay their cellular bill, or they never had to pay. But I think we've got adequate safeguards in the bill already, and the kind of respect almost that we're asking these companies to show is appropriate.
I agree.
Mr. Kramer, how often do National Guard get deployed? How many do we have deployed currently? 300?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is John Kramer. I'm the Admin Service Director for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Currently, we have approximately 180 Alaskans in the Alaska National Guard deployed. How often do they get deployed? Since 9/11, that has brought a new era of deployments, not only for Alaska but for all the states. So it's more frequently. It's becoming a more frequent event. I don't believe we have any soldiers who have been deployed numerous times. It's been one time so far where we have other states where they're starting back into a second rotation. We're anticipating that next year in FY06 that we will have somewhere in the neighborhood of around 300 Alaskans deployed from the Guard.
Mr. Chairman, I
would rather
than...
Okay. Thank you.
Amendment 4 has been withdrawn. We have the bill back, of course, unless there's other amendments.
Representative Kelly has joined us. Welcome.
Any other amendments? Discussion?
Representative Foster.
Okay, this wasn't amended at all. It was 4 minutes.
Yes. Amendment 1 was amended.
Mm-hmm. It was?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go ahead and move AC-122 out of committee. As amended, let's get that personnel for the recommendation.
There is a revised list. Yes. Okay. Any objections? Thank you. Okay. Ms. Fresca wants to come on up while we get situated here to take up House Bill 187 and 188. Okay, Mrs. Fresk, welcome to House of Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good to have you back again, I tell you what, I think what we'll do, I'll just, Ms. Fresk, I'm going to let you explain the two bills and the various people that you have testifying on the bills. Just to let you know, I have Cynthia Weed, Bond Counsel online, and John McKinnon, assuming he's in the audience.
Yep.
And he's in the audience for questions, as well as Bob Solomon for questions, Tom Penn, our revenue for questions, as well as Brian Butcher. He's on teleconference. Not yet. Okay.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cheryl Fresca, Office of Management and Budget. You may recall that several weeks ago we did have an informal or informative, we had a discussion while the bills were still in the House Judiciary Committee. The bills did pass out of House Judiciary as proposed, so they're the same measures that we discussed that day. And I think many of you may realize this is the governor's proposal as a way to leverage interest earnings that the state is receiving on an account from an early 90s settlement that was reached with oil companies. Our proposal is to leverage those annual earnings, which currently are only going back into the fund and not being deployed through Alaska's economy. Our proposal is to, nor are they used in the calculation of the dividend. And our proposal is to leverage the approximate $30 million in annual interest earnings to issue bonds by which we then could finance a number of capital projects as we've outlined in our FY06 capital budget. Certainly that's a starting point for the discussion in terms of the terms of which projects. The ultimate decision rests with the legislature as to what would get funded. So we look forward to having the opportunity to discuss which projects. And Devin Mitchell is here to talk about the actual structure. There are two bills. The first one, House Bill 187, sets up the Alaska Capital Income Account, and that's the account into which the annual earnings would be appropriated into. And then the second bill sets up a State of Alaska Capital Corporation, which could be a way by which we would leverage the annual earnings to issue bonds. And Devin can speak to the structure that's outlined in a booklet that you should still have that we distributed. It was a background paper that has a schematic chart that's, I think, helpful in discussing the ways that this would work. And then we also asked Brian Butcher to be online from AHFC, and Dan Baskey may join him, because we had some questions raised to us as to why do you have to set up another corporation? Couldn't this just be something part of AHFC, similar to the tobacco securitization bonds that were done a number of years ago? Couldn't we just do something like that? And so AHFC is here to speak to that question. We also have bond counsel online because there's been questions raised about would these be tax-exempt bonds, some of the other questions that tax counsel could speak to that you all may have. So we thought that might be helpful to address any concerns that you may have. So if that's sufficient, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just turn it over to Devin, who can cut to the chase.
Very good. Any questions from Ms. Press?
Devin Mitchell, debt manager for the State of Alaska and the Department of Revenue. We've already been through the bill, so I'll maybe limit my remarks to some questions that have come up about how the bills would be enacted. And as Cheryl mentioned, there are the schematics in your packet, and there are two of them because there are two distinct things going on here that can happen independently of one another, although it would be much more difficult for the State of Alaska Capital Corporation to undertake capital projects without the Alaska Capital Income Account legislation being passed as well. But there's no reason why the Alaska Capital Income Account legislation couldn't be passed independently. There are no changes as far as how the schematic works since we last discussed it. The corporation continues, as we discussed earlier as well. As far as the relationship that exists in the numbers, there was one interesting question in another committee related to what would happen to the potential leveraging if there were inflation proofing on fund balance in the Amerita Hess settlement monies, and it was about a 37% reduction in annual revenue that would be available for appropriation by the legislature in that course in year one. And then as time went by, the inflation proofing would build fund balance, and eventually you would receive the full $29 million that you might receive without inflation proofing. That's at assumed inflation rate of 2.6%. And as a result of that, it would reduce your project list by about 36%. it would shorten the term and you'd be able to potentially have a subsequent leveraging more quickly, but it would have a pretty dramatic impact in the short term. As far as the numbers that are in your booklet, they're still the same. The realized earnings rate of the permanent fund corporation, 7.04% is what they anticipate as a realized return earnings rate, and total return is 7.61. We still have a borrowing rate of 6%. A clarification on the 6% that's in your packet, that's not what we would anticipate borrowing at in today's market. That's just a placeholder that we believe is a very conservative placeholder that demonstrates the viability of the corporation's ability to borrow based on anticipated transfers to the corporation. Even at a high borrowing rate, you have an anticipated repayment in 17 years, which is indicative of the strength between the earnings rate that we would achieve and the borrowings rate we would have on funds through the corporation. I don't know that there's any other specific questions that come to mind at this time. I know that we touched on the fact that we've passed these ideas through the rating analysts and rating agencies that monitor the state of Alaska's credit, and it was initially expressed to us that it would not be included in the state's net tax supported debt, which is a very important feature of the structure. It has also been reviewed by a number of investment banks, and they have all opined that the structure, they would suggest their own products and twists on it, but that it would work in the historical scenarios they were able to construct. They all believed that this financing was financially feasible and a project that could be undertaken. And with that, unless there were specific questions, I think we covered previously the general overview of the structure and the implementation of it.
Okay, I do have several questions for you, but I think let's go ahead and let Mr. Barnhill testify as well as Cynthia Lee, because some of my questions may be answered by their testimony, and if not, then we'll have all four of you here for questions.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I don't have any prepared testimony. I can explain the background to the Imrata Hess litigation and how we got to where we are today, if that would be helpful to the committee. I can answer legal questions about the bill. Just really here as a resource for you.
First question is your name and affiliate.
Mike Barnhill, Department of Law, Commercial Section. I can answer that one.
Did you have anything else to add, or you just failed the
questions? Here for questions.
Okay. Okay, stay there then. Cynthia Lee, are you with us on teleconference?
Mr. Chairman, we had asked Cynthia to be available to answer any questions that you may have. I don't believe she had prepared comments.
Okay.
I mean, again, we were trying to respond to have available who all you would like. And did they get copies of this? Okay, and you do have a memo from Cynthia that's dated to date that addresses some questions that had come up regarding the appropriateness of the projects that we had proposed, as well as we proposed it, would the structure be tax exempt?
Okay. Yeah. No, she doesn't need to testify. I just want to make sure. Is she available for questions?
Yes. I'm here. My name is Cynthia Weed. I am here, and I'm available to answer questions or to speak at hopefully not any great length, but okay. We'd love to talk about tax exemption if there are questions about it.
Okay. Very, very good. Was there anyone else who wanted to testify? Okay. Very good. Well, I'm going to start out then, since we'll go ahead and close the public hearing process on this. My first question will be, I see there is a letter here from Cynthia Lee to you, Ms. Churchill. And I have not read this in detail, but I'm assuming that that the bond council isn't supportive of and has found this to be legal, with what we're attempting to do here with the public corporation?
I believe that question was addressed to me.
Yes,
the record, this is Cynthia Weed. And we did work with Mr. Barnhill and with other members of the staff in connection with the review of the draft of the bill, and believe that the structure of the corporation is consistent with the Alaska Constitution and limitations of the Alaska state law. And we did a preliminary review of at least the initial projects that were proposed to be financed. And based on that review, believe those projects were eligible for financing and could be financed on a tax-exempt basis. And then last but not least, as far as the tax exemption of the proposed structure, although the proposed structure has not been finalized, in other words, these bonds haven't been structured and things could come up during the course of the structure that could adversely affect or could cause into question the issue of tax exemption, it is, at least on a preliminary basis, it is possible to do these bonds on a tax exempt basis.
Okay, very good. And since the Emerald Hess Fund, if I understand this correctly, is a subaccount of the permanent fund, then no matter what we do with this account, there's no way it will or could impact the permanent fund. Is that safe to say?
This is Cynthia Weed. From my perspective, yes, and you may also wish to get confirmation from someone else in the Attorney General's office, but yes.
Okay, very good. And then I'm just going to ask one more question, then I'll let some of the other committee members join in. This might be better for Ms. Braska. The proposed projects that you have suggested, if we were to modify that some way, say for example we were uncomfortable with the amount, was it 337, and would you say the 17-18 year period to pay it off, if we wanted to reduce that to 200 and kept basically the same projects and then reduce the time period that we would be committing the dividends, would any problem with that? Is there some flexibility built into this?
Well, from my perspective, from the budget standpoint, if you can reduce the $340 million down to $200 million and still fund the same projects, go for it.
Well, I don't think I meant to do all the same projects.
We have things that are more of a priority in the list than others, and so we'd want to work with you as the list gets pared down and just offer comment if it's appropriate. But then I'll turn over what it means if you just do $200 million.
No, and let me explain why I bring this up. One of the comments I've heard is that there is some concern of dedicating the $30 million dividends over a 20-year period for just 2 years' worth of capital projects, basically. Although we'll have these capital projects forever, of course. So that's why I was wondering if we could reduce the commitment to 10 years and maybe reduce the amount, if there's some flexibility there.
Mr. Chairman, there definitely would be, and if that were the case, while it might not be in line with Cheryl's desires, it would definitely make the financing more doable and easier to undertake. The less you leverage a potential revenue stream, the easier it is to obtain higher ratings and achieve market acceptance that will result in lower cost and more efficiency.
Yeah, and again, I'm just looking at how much flexibility and all the different options we have. Just a thought that comes to mind is you could reduce it by 100 million if you just took the bottleneck cluster of roads and maybe funded those with general fund, Garvey bonds, if that's possible, permanent fund earnings. CBR, no, there's just a lot of other options out there, so not proposing any of those, just throwing out ideas. Okay, very good. Representative Barber.
It seems to me the legal opinion was done 2 years ago on a percent of market value of the the tax consequences of the implementation of that if it were adopted by other people in